time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the study of the book of Leviticus. We're in the 16th chapter, and so please open your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 16. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. We're going to begin reading at the fourth verse, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 4. And he shall put on a holy linen coat. He shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering which is for himself. He shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off of the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his finger 7 times. And then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is of the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. He shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of the transgressions in all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out, and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. He shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his fingers 7 times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place, the tabernacle of the congregation, the altar, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them up on the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. We're going to end with the reading there. Let's begin with prayer now as we look at these verses of Scripture. But before, we always go to the, we always love asking the Lord's blessing upon it and His leadership. Father, please, that You will guide and lead us now, that You will show us Your way and will through the words that we have read. Many, Father, dear folks, have not studied this, have not understood the great picture that is here. So I just ask that You will take the words that are proclaimed today, and they will be the words that You want them to hear. It will touch their heart. It will change their lives, because salvation is found in the blood of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through His death upon the cross, His resurrection 3 days later, His ascension unto You 40 days later, oh, dear Father, please, that You will show us Your way and will, show us Your strength and power, give us Your direction today. Grow us that are saved, save those that are lost. Please, dear Lord, that the work be done, the work continue, the work be furthered. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this book of Leviticus, we've studied through Genesis, we've studied through Exodus, and we've kind of jumped all the way to the 16th chapter of Leviticus. There's some points here that very clear points, very clear pictures that need to be made. And so we have looked at the sin offering, we've looked at the burnt offering, and we've kind of given the definition last time we were together. And the sin offering deals with just that. It deals with sin. And so we need to come before the Lord. You know, it's one thing to do something wrong that you know is wrong. It's another thing to do something wrong that you didn't realize. You didn't recognize something that you have done, something you've said that has hurt or harmed someone. Sin. We are born in sin. We are sinners, and we need the help of God to take care of that. And the only way that that can be dealt with is, of course, through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only is the importance in His death, but the power of salvation through His precious blood. And that's what most folks today miss. And so we're going to take a look at that today. But I want you to see that this sin offering is just that. It deals with our nature, with our evil nature, and it deals with the sin, what we have done against our God. Now, the burnt offering is an offering of praise, an offering of thanksgiving. It is much different, as this offering ascends up into the heavens, and it meets with our God with His approval. And so it is consumed. And so we need to not only have our sins taken care of, but we also need to be consumed. Our lives have to be consumed in the thought, in the desire to serve our God and praise our God. And so we've looked at the sin offering and the burnt offering that's listed in the third verse. Now we have dealt with before the clothing that the high priest. There are priests, and there is one single high priest. Now, you'll find through the study that man, as always, perverts God's word, and there was more than one high priest. Maybe one was beginning to retire, and so they brought a new one, the young one, on. But there's a lot of problems with that. God set out that there should be one high priest. When that high priest dies, then another takes his place. And, of course, that was always in the line of the Levites. It was also a little stricter than that because it was in the line of Aaron, and so which was a Levite. So it was not only one of the families, one of the 12 tribes, but it also then was a specific family within that tribe, had and was named the high priest. So we look at how he was clothed, how he was to prepare himself, how he was to wash and be ready for the service of the Lord. We have looked up some verses of Scripture that helps us to see that he had to do this alone. And that was the verses of Scripture that we had looked at the last time we were together. And so we need to see that we come prepared. We come with our hearts right before the Lord anytime we come before Him. And so, you know, right now the Lord Jesus Christ is the right hand of the Father. And so please that we come with a confessed heart and we've repented of our sin and we're desiring to serve Him and to praise Him and to honor Him with our lives after He has given His life for us. And so we come now down and we get into the fifth verse. And the fifth verse, he says, "And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering." Okay. Now, it's going to take these two goats, and there's a purpose for these two goats. Now, this Day of Atonement is the greatest day in the life of an Israelite, of a Jew. This day was a day that they would come and their sins would be covered. And so when we look at this Day of Atonement, because that's what these scriptures just continue to talk about, make an atonement with Him, make an atonement in the sixth verse, make an atonement in the tenth verse. And so let's come up now to the sixth verse, and it says, "And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is of himself." Now the two goats that he has taken, and then the ram is for the burnt offering, but the two goats are for the sin offering. It takes two to do there, to take care of what we're going to do. But first of all, Aaron needs to deal with his own sin. He has to take care of his own life and his own sin before he can go before God and present means of salvation or the covering of sin for the people. He has to deal with his own. He cannot go in before God and expect to do anything but die if he would go in without bringing the proper offering and sacrifice, without a time of repentance and prayer. And so that is what the bullock is for himself. It's a sin offering, and remember the sin offering deals with our evil nature, what we're born into, and needs to be taken care of. And so again, the sixth verse, which is for himself, to make an atonement for himself and for his house, to make an atonement. You know, this Day of Atonement is, God sets forth in His Word some words of propitiation, some words, a word substitution, and those are very necessary for ourselves, for you and for me, to have salvation, to be saved, to have our sins forgiven. And we need to realize, recognize the power of God, the saving power of God. And so this propitiation, a reconciling, we need to be reconciled to God. And we can't do that. There is nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do that can accomplish that. And so that's where the substitute comes in. So we need someone to take our place, because we are not perfect. We cannot take our own sins away. We can't remove them. If we die in our trespasses and sins, we die in our trespasses and sins, and we keep them. So you see, even our own death does not reconcile, take care of the problem we have with sin. God knew that. God knew we couldn't do it. And so that's when, and again, it was in the mind of God, the heart of God, before the foundations of the world, how He would do this. And He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came on this earth, lived 33 years, and died and rose again. Now, there is our substitute. There is our means of reconciliation, is by our son, by His Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to recognize that. We need to see that, see that the the place, the position. Jesus was perfect. We are not perfect. So for our death to try to reconcile ourselves to God is not going to happen. It's not going to make it. We need to take care of it prior to us dying, because once we die, it's set. And your only home is the lake of fire. Judgment, eternal judgment, eternal fire, eternal pain, eternal suffering. Any suffering that you have today from the old ailments of this body is nothing compared to what you will have through eternity. And that pain and that suffering will never, ever end. Never. You can't get rid of them. You see, as a believer, when I face the grave, that's a graduation day, because I get rid of this old body that aches, has aches and pains in it, and keeps me awake at night, it's going to get rid of it. I'm going to get a new body, and what a wonderful day that's going to be. But for the lost, what a horrible day it's going to be. Now, coming back to these verses of Scripture here, Aaron needed to deal with his own sin before he could ever begin to work or to talk about or to deal with the sin of the people. And so we find that here with this bullock. So he takes a bullock and he slaughters a bullock and he brings the blood, and it is brought in before the Lord, and it is he casts the blood upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat seven times, and that is an atonement. And again, this day of atonement to be reconciled, to repair the serious problem between God and man, and it's a problem that cannot be fixed by man. It has to be fixed by God, and it has to be done His way. Now, this word atonement means to cover up, to appease or cover the face is the definition. And this way, this means, this atonement is to settle the sin problem that we have. But it doesn't settle it, you see. It just covers it. It can't be dealt with completely until Jesus dies on the cross. So this word atonement here with the two goats or the bullock with this sin offering is only a covering. And that's the reason that it needed to be repeated year after year after year, because it wasn't, there was no sacrifice that was perfect. That animal, and we're going to get into the area of Hebrews, and we look at those scripture verses in the 9th, 10th, and 10th chapter of Hebrews. It speaks of how the animal cannot take away what Jesus did. They had to repeat it. How did it work? How did these people get saved at this time? It was by faith, just like the same way that we get saved by faith as we look back to the cross of Calvary. They looked forward to the cross, and it was this was a picture for them, and it was a beautiful picture. So first of all, Aaron needs to deal with his own sin, and he does this for the bullock, and this atonement, this covering, takes care of it. He needs to do it with full faith that God is accepting this. He needs to do it exactly the way God said to do it. These people today that change the Word of God because they say it doesn't stand for the same thing today, God is unchanging. He has never changed. He never will change. Neither will His plan or His way. So if you've accepted a lie from somebody that told you that doesn't apply today, you're mistaken. Now, the Word of God is divided in dispensations, different divisions, different times. Some things apply to the Jews that do not apply to us. That's true. That's exactly right. And we need to study the Word of God accordingly. But man has taken from God's Word and changed it to the point that it has no power and no strength. And we're not about to do that. We're staying with the truth. I hope that you love the truth. That's the reason that the program says it's time for the truth. And that's the reason the program ends with, what are you going to do about Jesus? Because it's time for you to hear the truth, and it's time for you to trust in Jesus as your Savior and begin to serve and praise and honor Him with your life. Now, let's go about this now. We're in the sixth verse. Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats, present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, again, if you haven't been with us, why, you're lost. You don't know what we're talking about. Well, there's a building. It's a really a tent that God gave the design for. And he gave it to Moses, and Moses had some special people that really had some very special talents. They built it. I believe Moses looked at the one in heaven and got a look at it, so he knew exactly what it was to look like. And then they came down, and he built a duplicate here upon earth. And so it was a place where God can meet with man. It's a tent affair. It's very small. It's only 15 foot wide, 45 feet long. It's not a church fashion where the people come in to hear the preacher preach. It is where a representative of the people would come before God and present the atoning power, the saving power that God has offered on behalf of the people. He comes and repents. He comes showing the repentant heart of the people. That's done by one individual on the Day of Atonement, and that's the high priest. That's his position. Now, there were offerings and sacrifices done by many priests throughout the year, thousands every day, hundreds. It would be slaughtered, sacrifices be offered. It was a very busy place, but it wasn't for the common people. A normal Jew from the tribe of Judah or another tribe, it was a tribe of Levite. They were the priestly line, so they would have this opportunity. Aaron was of the tribe of Levi, but he was chosen, and the line of Aaron was chosen to be the high priest. So we have this now, this building, this 15 foot tall, 15 foot wide, 45 feet long, two rooms. 15 by 30 is the first room, and we have three items in there, the table of showbread, the incense altar, and the lampstand. And then we go into the Holy of Holies, which is a 15-foot cube, 15 by 15 by 15, 15 foot tall. And that is then where the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat is found. Only went into that room once a year. Only once a year did you enter into that room. Outside the tabernacle, in the courtyard, we have a brazen altar and then a brazen laver. And so now you have a picture of all the things. So you come into the courtyard, here's the altar. And so when it says here in this scripture that Aaron took the two goats to present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, that would be just as it says. And so as we come before the door of the tabernacle, before this tent, before this building, and he would bring these two goats perfect as they would be, as perfect as something on this earth can be, and he lifts them up unto the Lord on behalf of the people. Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Okay, so at the time, you see, they did not have the Word of God, and so they had the Urim and Thummim. It was two, some people think of them being like a dice or something, but they were stone. Maybe one was a different color the other, and one, you know, if you would pull out both stones or you would reach in and pull one out, that would mean yes, pull the other out, or pull the other color out, perhaps that meant no. And God used that. You know, he doesn't use that today. God despises gambling and things like that, but and things of chance. But this was not things of chance. This is something God used. And so the question would come, which goat? And so they would cast the lots. And so one goat was chosen to be of the Lord. The other would be the scapegoat. The one that was chosen for the Lord is the one that will be put to death. Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. That means that goat was put to death. Now, it continues in verse 10. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Now, it took two animals to do what Jesus did on the cross for us. It took two goats. One was to die, and the other one was to carry our sins away. Well, our Savior did that upon the cross. He died, and he rose again. He has taken our sins away as far as the east is from the west. But don't think because he has done his part that you have nothing to do. Because, my friend, you've got a will, and you need to come by faith to Jesus. And you need to trust in him today. You need to have a personal relationship with our Lord. You ask him into your heart to save you. This universal salvation is not taught in the Word of God. It is contrary. It's a trick of the devil to deceive people. And millions upon millions of people have lived and died that lie and are in hell today. They're in a place of torment today, experiencing just what we talked about a few minutes ago, the suffering, the constant suffering. Right now, it's just their soul, but their body will be reunited and cast into the lake of fire whenever that final judgment comes. Oh, what a horrible day that will be, and I don't want anybody to miss Jesus and not come by faith to him. So please, today, so we have The one goat, the Lord's goat, the Lord's lot fell. They offered him as a sin offering, so he was slaughtered, caught the blood. The goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat, this is the 10th verse, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. Okay, so you see, he had the bullock and he had the two goats. The choice was made for the goats, and the one was offered for a sin offering. Now we're back to Aaron, because Aaron has to finish what he needs before he can do what he needs to do for the people. On this Day of Atonement, this Holy of Holies was entered in twice, once for Aaron and once for the people. And so we're going to see now. And so Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And let's follow now in verse 12. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off of the altar. There is no fire on the in the incense, for the incense altar. It is all out at the place of judgment, the brazen altar. And that is represents the cross of Calvary where Jesus died for us. They bring the burning coals from there, from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And so you see, when we come before our Lord, we come in the incense altar is known also as prayer altar. And so as we come, and when we come with a humble heart, a broken heart, and we lift our burdens up to the Lord, and we confess our sin before our God, and that must be done before we can come before him. And so this is what is happening here. He brings this incense with these coals. He lays the incense upon it, and this sweet fragrance floats across into the Holy of Holies, upon the mercy seat, and literally before the Lord, because the Lord, see, that's his home upon earth. That's his place, is this mercy seat. He comes between the two cherubims, and he lives there. And so that's where he comes to meet with the people. Never before has God ever come to earth to meet with his people as he is here. And so Aaron has to meet the requirements before he can present anything on behalf of the people. And so that's where we're at right here. And so now he comes and this incense flows before the Lord. And with that being done, then the 14th verse, and he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his fingers upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with his fingers seven times. Now, we're going to start with that 14th verse next time. We're out of time, as always. I hope that you've enjoyed the study today. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Please don't be deceived by a universal salvation. It's between you and God. You've got to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Please, today, trust in that precious blood and be saved. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?